Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for giving us hearts that are wide open for the truth, and blessing us on the Sabbath day with a changing of the showbread. Thank you for giving us a desire in our hearts also to go forward and to do the final work that's prophesied to be done. Forgive us, Father, of our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and bless us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains, even the butterfly wing faith. We thank you for the way you always care for us. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that come to help us grow in Christ. Thank you for changing our characters and blessing us where we need to be blessed. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see your hand move on a daily basis now. Please give us opportunities to share our faith, and please bring many more into the fold. We uplift this prayer unto you, Father. But first, I just got word that Brother Robert's friend, Her name is Lori. She ended up in the hospital a while ago for kidney complications. And many people are having these issues today, Lord, with whatever's going on in the world, whether it's the poisoned atmosphere that was prophesied to be here in our time, or the poisoned foods. Many loved ones are dealing with this kidney issue, and we lift them all up to you, Father, and bless them with ways, especially in the natural methods, ways to have them cured permanently. But at the same time, thy will be done. Give them the courage and the strength to endure, and bless Lori, who's dealing with it right now. And again, we uplift these prayers to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I happened to look over during prayer, and we were at 90 families in here. And then I guess somebody fell out. We'll keep Sister Barbara in prayer. I guess she had to go back to the hospital for whatever reason, and I'm sure she'll be fine. Try to remind me later when we close in prayer. So, all right, I want to start off. Yeah, no, I saw 90 here a minute ago. Yeah, 90 families. But I want to start off here, thanks, Fran, with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. And it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And if you want to know some of the promises, just go to the website in the Bible Truth section, look for promises of God. And that's just the New Testament list. We didn't do the Old Testament yet. Well, it's in the Old Testament, of course, still, but and posted online. The verse goes on to say, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as we're doing now, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, I did a sermon back in 2006 about the character of Enoch and why he was chosen of God to be translated. And translated for the young in faith is he never saw death. He went, all of a sudden one day Enoch was and Enoch was not. He just went into heaven. It wasn't as spectacular, I guess, as Elijah with the flaming chariot, but Enoch's in heaven. Alive and well, flesh and bones, the whole nine yards, right? His daily walk, if I could summarize that sermon I did years ago, but his daily walk was a perfect example of those who are alive when that day approaches wherein our King has arrived, as is the walk of Elijah. The godly character of the prophet Enoch, and even more so of that of Elijah, is where we need to be in our walks if we are to have any hope to be in that number. Christ must be in us in such a way that our Father will be glorified before the entire universe, not just this planet. Because everybody's looking on. Even the angels are looking on to what's going on down here. So, expect the trials. Expect the heartaches. And expect the times to become very intense in the coming months and years as the enemy of souls is our enemy because Christ is our righteousness. So, as many of you that have been frequenting the website know, the last 2 months alone have had some rather intense prophetic events fulfilled in them. Yes, we had the occasional article and video about the forward push towards Sunday laws, and thanks to Brother Daniel's efforts, we have witnessed over 21,000 earthquakes in just the last 12 weeks. But that's, of course, if I only lowball the average to 1,500 a week. As we all know, recently we have been over 1,500 each week for some time. But what I'd like to share today is, of course, the more graphic prophetic fulfillments I've shared in the articles and the videos in the last 2 weeks. But with a tad more detail, as I like to keep the articles and the video comments short on the website so as to be able to share more content. And because, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon is before I can even get out of my office doing my updates, I call it. You know, do the research, do the articles, read some of the emails and the articles that you send, and then pick the ones that I could put on and put some comments. But if I'm putting a sermon on each comment, it's going to take too long. So anyway, right off, as many of you already know, the Pope did something on Sunday that caused many that study prophecy to get a bit more serious about their Christian walk. At least that's the scuttlebutt I've noticed in the many emails and the phone calls I've been getting since I posted that video on Monday. In the video, I share an excerpt from an article that was posted online. There's also a couple of videos that showed a man wearing the vesture of a Catholic priest by the name of Tony Palmer standing before Kenneth Copeland's Pentecostal church declaring, and I quote, "Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours?" He's, of course, referring to Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation, which is not over by any means. And this guy, Tony Palmer, only brings up one point and then claims the protest is over. One point he brings up, and everybody agrees with it because it's an easy point to bring up. But what was it called that Luther nailed on the door? What was it called? Was it the one thesis, or was it the 95 thesis? There was 95 points that he showed how bad the Vatican was and how bad Catholicism was. 95 different reasons, biblical reasons. But Tony Palmer brought one up, and that was it, and that is going to cause everybody to come under one roof. He also stated on camera that all Protestant Christians were now considered to be Catholic, not Roman Catholic. He, of course, dropped that term. He says, oh, the word universal means Catholic. It doesn't mean Roman. And when he said that, they all laughed a little bit and cheered. He even twisted some of the prophetic events out of whack, like the spirit of Elijah, to lend credence to the Vatican's heresies. And since no one within earshot studies prophecy in that church, they all believed him hook, line, and sinker. He then proceeded to play a video of the Pope welcoming Kenneth Copeland and his entire church family into the family of Rome. Well, actually, this wasn't so much his church family as it was a convocation. And, of course, it received applause and cheers from the onlookers. Who, like I was saying, it was like I say, it's a convocation. It was all the ministers and all the leaders in the Pentecostal movement under Kenneth Copeland's ministry. This means they're going to go back. These leaders are going to go back to their churches with their tens of thousands of followers, and convince each and every one of them that the Pope is a brother in the faith, and then they're going to go forth and tell as many friends as they can. But what moved me the most to make that short video, because all this stuff was expected, you know, because we've been watching the prophecies for years. We know this was supposed to happen. We know that Rome's or the Protestants are supposed to stretch their hand across the gap and make nice with the Vatican. We all know that. So that's expected. But to see it coming from the lips of a woman or even a man is what got me moved to do that video. It's what Tony Palmer's wife said. And this is what Tony Palmer said in the article. I just excerpted it, right? I think I put it in one of the boxes in the study notes below. And if you're new, you can just scroll down a little bit or click where it says Sabbath Sermon Notes, and it'll bring you down on the page. It won't knock you out of the room or nothing like that. But yeah, it's box number two. Okay, it's a notes at the box number two. It says, "When my wife saw," this is what Tony Palmer's wife said, not my wife. My wife is 100% agreement with all of us, okay, in regards to the truth that we proclaim. But this is Tony Palmer's wife. She says, when my wife saw that she could be Catholic and charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted in the Catholic Church, she said that she should like to reconnect her roots with the Catholic culture. So she did. Of course, you know, the crowd cheered, and as he continued, "Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours?" Well, I have to say, brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is not over. And the three frogs of Revelation are right now sitting on the exact same lily pad, just as our Lord predicted in the book of Revelation. Those of us that have been watching current events as they pertain to prophecy know this has been planned ever since the Vatican II Council stated as such in the 1960s. I mean, just a few years before he died, the founder of TBN that embraces guys like Kenneth Copeland and that Tony Palmer and Benny Hinn and all of them, he said this. on a video right on screen, he said, "I am eradicating the word Protestant from my vocabulary. It's time for Catholics and non-Catholics to come together as one." And that's, of course, Paul Crouch speaking. And it was, and I got the excerpt from A Woman Rides the Beast on page 411. It was authored by Billy Graham. And, of course, that's just a big twisted book because Billy Graham declares Jesus is not necessary for salvation, and he proclaims the Pope a holy man of God. He even calls him, quote-unquote, Holy Father. That's blasphemous, of course, because of what we saw in John chapter 17. So, and I actually saw Paul Crouch speak those words in a video not too long ago. Well, actually, I saw it when he did it years ago when I used to have TV and then again, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, I saw it on a video that somebody sent me. But anyway, thanks to the infiltration of Roman priests into Protestant churches the last five decades since Vatican II, we see all sorts of Roman Catholic doctrines and traditions being taught as if they're scriptural fact. Rome doesn't need each church to adopt every one of her pagan doctrines to show loyalty, as we saw with Tony Palmer. I mean, Luther's protest was a 95 thesis. It wasn't a one thesis or a two thesis. It had 95 reasons to leave the Catholic Church. They know that doing so, getting them to show just one sign of loyalty, like they're doing here at Copeland's Church, they know that doing so will alert the congregations of the Vatican of Vatican heresy, and many people will flee. If you try to get them to go along with all of it, bow to the statues, or believe in purgatory or limbo or any of these other strange things, if they try to get the people to go along with all that stuff, it's going to ruffle their feathers. They're not going to be able to join. But if they get them on one doctrine, and they've been pushing this one doctrine about, we all believe in Jesus, that's all we need to do, let's all just grab each other and hug each other and sing Kumbaya. They've been doing that for decades. So they ask the churches they infiltrate to adopt one, or at the most two, dogmatic statements of Rome, while they place Jesuits at the pulpit to ready the people for the rest. Slowly but surely, chip away at their theology and their faith. And this is why we saw when the Seventh-day Adventist Church only adopted the Roman Catholic Trinity in the 1980s. Yeah, that caused a pretty good exodus out of the church, but it showed loyalty to Rome when they did that. And now, their heretical agreements are literally hundreds and hundreds of pages in length. And if you would like to see that list, and it's not an easy list to watch. I even made a flash animation about it, but it's a lot easier to go through it if you just look at the list itself. Just visit the link in box number 4 in the sermon notes below. And do it after church, because it's pretty intense. So anyway, looking at Christendom today, you're going to see more and more Vatican doctrines are going to be embraced by the churches. Just to name a few, I mean, we've already seen this stuff, because we know the Jesuits invented this falderal, calling it scripture or doctrine. For example, the seven-year trib theory, the secret rapture theory, the eternal life in hellfire theory, or immortal soul theology. We know the Bible says sin begets death, but they're saying, no, just like Satan said in the garden 6,000 years ago, ye shall not surely die. Well, they've been echoing his theology ever since. And then you got all the pagan traditions of Christmas and Easter, as well as those steeples on the church roofs, and even wedding rings on the fingers of their men. And of course, Rome's favorite doctrine and admitted mark, Sunday Sabbath. I mean, the list is quite large, and so I don't want to go into it here, but when you get time, just check out my September of 1999 newsletter titled, Are You Catholic? Are You Sure? I did a radio thing on that years ago. That's in box number 5, if you want to read that. It's the old way I used to do the newsletters. There's not a lot of authorship, if you will. It's just mostly facts and a couple of statements. I really didn't spend a lot of time on the newsletters back then. So, now that Rome can see that they successfully taken the Protestant church, it's only natural that they're going to seal the deal with a contract locking them into a global church system so as to better control them within each region on earth. I mean, this is placing the prophetic stamp of fulfillment upon their actions quite boldly when you realize what happened on June 26, 2000. And yeah, I got a newsletter about that too, and a couple of radio articles. That was the date they formed the United Religions Initiative. And by the way, they did this. On June 26, 1948, the United Nations Initiative was formed in a certain hotel room. Well, on June 26, 2000, the exact same hotel room was used to form the United Religions Initiative. which shows it has nothing to do with about Christianity or religion or anything. It has to do with politics. And this religion initiative thing, it's actually what we call the One World Church. Every church on earth has joined this One World Church, with the exception, of course, of the Seventh-day Remnant Church, us here, and a few others that believe, as we do, of course, that we have yet to meet. And sadly, yes, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has also joined the One World Church. So, the prophecy of Revelation 13:3, where it says all the world wondered after the beast, is easily seen as fulfilled, at least by the church leaders of the world. What the Pope did on Monday in that video with Copeland was merely the opening of the gates of Rome a little wider to allow every Protestant that's been riding the fence to now come back to Mother Rome, just as prophecy also predicted they would do. So, how are they going to be able to get the rest of the people outside the church into the club of Rome? Copeland made sure all the religious leaders in his movement will assure their followers were joined, so they got the Christian end of things handled, but what about the non-believers? Well, did you see that video I did 3 weeks ago about the Pope being on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Rolling Stone magazine is the ultimate in rock magazines. Rock music is the devil's blatant ministry on this planet today. For those that are new to this biblical fact, when speaking of Satan and his past tense heavenly ministry, Ezekiel 28:13 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, with the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." Now, what's a tabret? Strong's number 0596, it's actually defined as a timbrel, a tabret, or a tambourine. So, as students of the Bible, we know that Satan was the angel of music before he fell. And just as we saw him use music to get all of Nebuchadnezzar's people to bow down before that golden image he set up in his day, he's going to be using music to get all that don't follow Christ to bow to him today. This is why you see music in elevators and grocery stores and your workplace. It's all over the place. He's getting all sorts of people just to embrace. It's in your cars. I mean, well, that's if you turn it on. But people up and down the streets, like when I used to work in the Loop back in the 70s and 80s, even then the people were, you know, just ensconced in music. I mean, it was just like today, forget about it. So everybody's, especially people that are jogging around, they got the earbuds in and they're just going down the street. No one wants to be alone with their thoughts. And that's the way Satan likes it. Nebuchadnezzar and his people were pagans or non-believers in Christ, as is obvious. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, that at what time, and this is what Nebuchadnezzar is demanding. He's got that 90-foot statue out there, right? And he goes, "At what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning and fiery furnace." So, rock music is especially powerful to the lost today. Whether they're listening to it when they're driving down the road or walking down the street, it doesn't make any difference. I know of this firsthand as I came from a family that was very much into rock music in the 70s. You know, you had the band, the garage band, all this other stuff. One of my brothers, two of my brothers were in the same band and ended up on some of the local radio stations. You got an album cut and everything. And I know how addictive it can be. It can make you leap for joy. It can make you push that accelerator down a bit harder when your favorite song comes on the radio in your car, or even move you to commit suicide, as I have seen some of my friends and loved ones do over the years. So it makes perfect sense to me that Satan would use a rock music magazine to popularize the man of sin before those that know not Christ. It's just like Nebuchadnezzar did. He's just using the music in a different fashion. It's still being used because Rolling Stone magazine is all about the music. And just about everybody today, even people that are my age, are into the music because they were brought up in it from the 70s, of course. I praise God that my wife and I were able to break that cord because I was easier to quit smoking than quit that music. It was that, I mean, think about it this way. You see how powerful this the enemy of souls can be if you let him. How many of us remember, let's just say you're driving down the road someday and like tomorrow. And a thought comes to mind of something that you memorized in high school to pass a test. Can you repeat word for word what you memorized to pass that test? No, you can't, can you? But how about a song you heard that year that you were taking the test, and it pops on the radio? You can all of a sudden sing along word for word, can't you? So, it's no mistake that he's doing what he's doing with the music. So this then means that the Pope is going to be worshipped by all the people in the churches, because worship isn't defined in today's world the way it's really defined in the Word. They don't understand when they give allegiance or obedience unto this man of sin, they're worshipping him over and above that he that created him. So all the people in the churches are going to be easily brought in under the Pope's banner, as well as all the people in the world now. He got them both just that easy. I remember years ago they had Aerosmith and a couple other rock bands along with some pop idols come to the Vatican to help the Pope, John Paul II, make his Abba Pater CD or DVD. He wanted to use rock musicians to help him put the music together for the DVD, where he actually has Adam and Eve without any clothes on in that video. And we all know the Vatican's got a problem with the flesh. I mean, even if you don't look at the molestation stuff and the 98% of the Catholic priests in the Vatican itself being homosexual, which was just admitted on Italian magazine 3 or 4 months ago, you've got the statues. What is their problem with clothing? I mean, the fact is we know why all of a sudden Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, because the robe of light fell off of them. They weren't walking around, you know, unclothed beforehand. It was a robe of light upon them, where it covered them like a robe. And when they were disobedient, that robe disappeared. So not many realize what happened on Monday with that video in Copeland's church, nor do some realize the prophetic significance of the other video that I did 3 weeks ago about the Pope's wound being healed. It says in Revelation 13:3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast," right? The chronological order of this prophecy is plain. And I just got an email the other day, even though, you know, quite a few people saw the video, and quite a few people have emailed me about it, and I can't even contemplate, you know, it's like 1.1 or to 1.5 million hits a week now, so I don't know, you know, how many people saw the articles. But I got one person using grammar to twist twist Revelation 13:3 out of context to make it look like what I said in regards to the word "and" here isn't true. But the fact is, remains, the chronicle order of the prophecy is plain. Revelation 13:3 says that first the wound is to be healed, and then all the world is going to wonder after the beast. So if you look around, what do you see? You see the Pope on the cover of the most popular secular magazine known to man, and then you see the Pope flaunted as a holy man before the largest megachurch in America, and you see the, you know, Copeland's church leaders are going to be using, they're going to be used by the Pope to gather all the lukewarm Christians from those megachurches into Rome in the exact same way that Rolling Stone magazine is going to be used by Satan to bring all the lost into thinking that the Pope is an honest and moral man. I mean, after all, did we not recently see how highly the atheists spoke of the Pope after hearing him say that they aren't necessarily headed for hell if they're just good, they do good works? And just yesterday, the Pope met with 15 Muslims, 15 Catholics, and 15 Jews and declared on camera, "We all have the same Father." But I have to ask, if we all had the same Father, wouldn't we all be Christians? I mean, this Pope is purposely making our God look like he is incapable of sharing the same truth with everyone. Or as prophecy calls it, this Pope is promoting the Babylonian God of confusion and not the ordered God of the Bible. So looking around again, we see every news source pushing, you know, this Pope as a Pope of the people. Atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, and a host of other strange religions have been meeting with him as a friend. I mean, does this not declare that the wound is healed? Well, yeah. It's obvious it does. And prophecy stated that the wound was healed first, and then they would wonder after him. The fact they wonder after him now means that wound is healed. So it was expected that political and the secular leaders would bow to the Pope because they've already been in the camp of Satan all along. And I did a video years ago about how they bow and actually kiss his ring. So, and this is why you see the statue of Jupiter in the Vatican, which they renamed Peter, of course, acting like he's the first pope. But it's actually a statue, a pagan statue of Jupiter. And I've got it in the flash animation that I did. I think Brother Craig put it in a video as well, where the foot that sticks out a little bit, that statue is purposely designed to be up 4 feet off the ground, 4 or 5 feet off the ground, with the foot sticking out so people can touch it or kiss it. Now think about this. So many people have touched and so many people have kissed that foot that the features of the toenail and the wrinkles in the toe and the form of the big toe and the toe next to it are totally gone. Think about that. How many millions upon millions of people had to kiss that brass statue to make that metal disappear? It's just, I mean, what's the difference between that and touching it every day, like 1,000 times a day with a feather? Eventually, you're going to get the metal to go away because the feathers are going to eventually wear it down, just like the soft lips of a human or just gentle touch of a human. So, as I was saying a minute ago, the political and secular leaders already bow to the Pope. They've already been in the camp of Satan all along. I mean, in some cases, it's a prerequisite for employment, as all their satanic logos confirm. With some of the secular leaders, that is, you know, like Kraft or Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any of the big corporations out there, they all have satanic logos. They all have allegiance to Satan in their logos. So what we as students of prophecy were waiting for was the church leaders to do it. Why? Well, we know that when the churches, who at one time protested against Rome, would stop protesting, they would eventually sit in the pew next to the Pope. And when that happens, we know the nations of this world will be primed and ready to go along with the plans for a global Sunday law. This is why we have seen every war lately ending with a constitutional change to each nation, except, of course, in Europe. They used an economic disaster to get the people seeking a constitutional change. And yes, they are right now, as we speak, readying Americans for a new constitution right here in the U.S. In fact, I just put a video up 2 months ago titled U.S. Constitution Officially Being Trashed, and another video titled, 2 weeks ago, U.S. Constitution Changing Soon. In those videos, I show news reports on how the leaders of our nation are meeting in the same building our founding fathers did to draft the original constitutions with plans for a total rewrite. Prophecy is being fulfilled, and like it was also prophesied, it's speeding up. It's happening a lot quicker. And by the way, the process of changing our constitution is also why we see our president passing laws without congressional approval, and a lot of people are getting very nervous about this, even in both sides of the aisle. He is merely testing the waters of complacency so as to do as the new Constitution is going to allow for him to do anyway. There's no longer going to be a we the people, Congress, if you will, once they rewrite the Constitution. And as Rome demanded during John Paul II's pontificate back in 1985, socialism will come to America. In fact, every nation on earth that has recently drafted new constitutions know, in so doing, they have been forced to form a socialist format that emulates the one Rome set up under Hitler in World War II. Now, keep in mind that as soon as they change all the constitutions, which can be done in a comparatively short period of time, how we saw in Europe, Satan will come forward to start his final campaign with his many signs and lying wonders that will gather every soul that marvels after the beast into his absolute obedience to his every whim. And then when speaking of this man of sin in Rome, and those that follow after him, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now do you see why I say, please read your Bibles each and every single solitary day now? You need to have the full armor of God on, in order to be able to survive this holy war we find ourselves in. I mean, if you were a soldier in Afghanistan right now and you walked out in the most violent area of the city without any armor on, well, you'd be dead pretty soon, wouldn't you? I mean, obvious, yeah, no-brainer. But 1 Peter 5:8 says that we must be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So just as the soldier in Afghanistan is being watched and targeted by every man that seeks his life, so are we Christians targeted by every demon that seeks our eternal life. We need the sword of the Lord upon us if we are ever able to stand in this battle. I mean, everywhere we look, we see one attack after another, not only showing the devil is very angry with us, but every prophecy regarding the final days is being fulfilled right now. This is why we also see so many strange events happening all over the world. I was planning on listing a few of the article headlines in this sermon, but there are just so many in just the last 4 weeks alone that I won't have time to cover the big ones. But if you frequent the main page on my website daily, you already know all about the prophetic fulfillments that have happened in just the last 2 weeks. You know that things have most assuredly accelerated, just as we expected. And we never would have been able to prepare for all this had we not been in the Word of God daily. Now, switching gears just a tad here. If you've been following my Daniel 11 page on the site, you would know that verse 11, verse 45 is being fulfilled right before our eyes as well now. When speaking of the Pope, it says in Daniel 11, 45, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. And I presently have 18 article links under the prophetic definitions of this verse that are now listed in box 11 of the study notes. But I'm not going to read them all. I'm only going to read three. I know, I just picked the first few. I could have, should have been a better selection of these three, but if you want to just read the headlines, go for it. I mean, it's just like one says, Israel surrendering holy site to Vatican, or U.S. plan gives Jerusalem holy sites to Vatican, and White House map erases Jerusalem biblical territories. So as many students of prophecy understand this, Rome will seek to set up shop in Jerusalem right before their final and inevitable demise. None shall help them. Right? It has obviously happened as we speak. We are that close. In fact, we also see that since the nation of Israel already agreed to keep Sunday holy in February of last year, and yeah, some of you never heard that before, but go to my Sabbath Attack page. The articles are there. Actually, they started doing this years ago, but they finalized it in February of last year that the Jews have agreed to keep Sunday holy. They've already been taken by Rome and physically and spiritually, as Daniel predicted here. So that's past tense. But grabbing a few holy sites is merely going through the motions of defeat for them, as far as I can see. I mean, they showed a sign of loyalty, and which also showed a sign of weakness, and Rome pounced. So still, there is yet another aspect to this prophecy on the stealthy end of things that most people miss. We all know who the real Israel is. It's us. The obedient ones can only be called Israel, as well as we also know who the physical one is in the Middle East. And what I mean about the stealthy thing is one can also see a symbolic fulfillment here in the once obedient Seventh-day Adventist Church, which was also seen during the ninth hour as the glorious and holy mountain. The King of the North did bring his form of worship within her as well, so as to further insult our Lord. Started off with the Trinity thing and then went on from there, of course. And as is painfully obvious, being the papacy, it is common knowledge almost among most of the Roman Catholic churches is, in fact, the author of the Sunday Sabbath. They even admit this in writing. I mean, see box 12 in the sermon notes for the link to their admission in writing. They put out a little pamphlet called Rome's Challenge to Protestants. So this means once the SDA Church bowed in obedience to Rome in a multitude of ways, one, of course, being the Roman Trinity, the Vatican saw a clear opportunity to bring about Sunday worship within the SDA Church as a great insult to the Lord, as well as a necessary demonstration of loyalty by the SDA leaders. And this is why I believe the Seventh-day Adventist magazine, some of them, and the church itself in many areas dropped they changed their name. They no longer call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. They just call themselves Adventists. And sadly, we have had confirmation that they have, in fact, started keeping Sunday holy. And if you need proof that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is keeping Sunday holy right now in literally dozens of churches around the world, actually scores of churches, a dozen's only 12, a score is 20. So all around the world, just go to sdaapostasy.org and click the link that says SDA's keeping Sunday holy for those of you on the radio. For those of you here, just click the link in box number 13 of the sermon notes. And if those of you listening on the radio or later on with this recording want all these links, send me an email. I'll send you the link to the CSP folder and the which is church service page where it has all the links for all the sermon notes, and then you just click them at your leisure. Okay, so far we see the Pope as being worshipped by Christians as well as non-Christians, thanks to Copeland and the Rolling Stone magazine. We see all the constitutions changing all over the world, including right here in the USA. We see a socialist form of government spreading from nation to nation, so as to assure the foundation Rome needs to enforce the mark among the leaders of each nation is sure. But do we also see the means by which they can enforce the mark on each and every soul in every nation? Headline. China pushes mobile payments system, seeks to overtake cash and plastic. I'm just going to read two or three sentences here from the article. It says, China is developing its first national single mobile payment platform. It's been created to lift domestic information consumption and boost economic growth and could replace cash, credit, and debit cards. Why China? Well, is it not obvious? Not only is China the largest holder of American debt on the planet right now, it is also the fastest and most stable economy on Earth right now. And that's mostly because the most powerful nation of America is in debt to her. Their economy is working so well now that many look to China for ideas on how to stabilize their own. In fact, many of the financial talk shows speak of China as the one to watch, especially those guys that like to mess around in the stock market. So are the powers that be taking the bait that Satan has set up there in China? Well, besides the fact that China leaders, their leaders, finally bowed to the Pope, and it happened to be, it was John Paul II at the time in 1995, we do see that America as well as Russia are in fact doing all they can to make friendly relations with China, so much so that President Clinton and his administration gave microtechnology to the Chinese military. That was actually an act of treason. Because now it allows the Chinese people to manufacture ICBMs that can reach all 50 states of the continental U.S. But under one world government, as we now see confirmed by the video I did 2 months ago titled The 10 Toes of Daniel Are Lining Up, Clinton knew China would eventually be on board with all the other nations in the Prophesied Club of Rome, so they're not going to be button heads anymore. But what about this idea for a cashless society, which will be what they need in order to enforce the mark of the beast? I mean, after all, if the people have access to cash, turning off their credit cards won't be very effective at all, will it? Well, that being said, did you see that video I did about the new coin card that just came out? I posted it 2 months ago. It's a credit card with an active chip in it, and it actually has battery power in it that allows you to place all your credit cards, all your bank information, all your ID cards, even your library card, whatever, in that card. If you have a card that has a magnetic strip on it, it can go in this card. It has a little LCD screen on it you can use to scroll to. There's got a little menu button that you can scroll to whatever card you want to use at the, you know, whatever, like if you're in a certain department store and you want to use that department store's credit card, you scroll through the list to that card and boom, lock it in and swipe it. It's like you had your card in your hand. I have no doubt that the flexible LCD screens that were invented by Sony recently are going to be used by the card company so as to make them full color, with all sorts of additional info and bells and whistles to get the public interested in buying them, or even make phones out of them so you can use your phone as a credit card at the same time. I wouldn't put it past them to incorporate the Real ID card into this as well, because it makes sense. I mean, after all, convenience is what they used to introduce the credit and debit cards in the first place. Why not use it for the ID cards as well? So, but anyway, once everyone gets this card in their hand, all they need to do is ask them the question regarding the allegiance to the Roman mandate of Sunday laws. If they say they refuse, their card is switched off remotely, forcing them to lose their ability to buy and sell, just as the Lord prophesied long ago. It would be instantaneous, and they would be reported throughout the network that they are, you know, rebelling. And if there's a cop 30 feet away in the parking lot, you're behind bars within minutes. And by the way, have you noticed all the coin card advertisements that are popping up in YouTube videos lately? I mean, I watch a lot of videos for the main page research every day, and I've been seeing this card advertised now every single day since Monday of this week. I mean, I think that's a little bit coincidental if you ask me about the Pope opening the gates of the Roman Church on Sunday, and then the coin cards being pushed the exact same week. I mean, it just seems a little bit coincidental. Yeah, I guess some of you have been seeing it. So, okay, one more thing needs to be stated before closing. And this is an article I just got the other day. Well, actually, I this has been online for a while, but I decided, I think yesterday or the day before, to put this in the sermon. It says, breaking news, Obama orders FCC to monitor newsrooms. And the little excerpt says, freedom of speech and freedom of the press are two of the hallmarks of our constitutional republic. The First Amendment protects individuals, reporters, and press agencies from government intrusion or bullying, and no government entity can ever introduce a law or regulation that violates this right. But because they are changing the Constitution, and the White House is about to house a dictator, they cannot allow freedom of the press. Main reason being is the truth is a major threat. We need to understand that our political leaders are very aware of what time it is. Satan, their god, keeps them well informed, but only as much as needed. He, of course, won't tell them everything. Still, this does mean they know there are people out there that walk with God and understand the prophecies like we do. They also know that these people are already going forth in the spirit of Elijah to broadcast the loud cry so as to spread the truth far and wide that Jesus Christ is coming soon and the people will get ready just like they did when John the Baptist declared the same message. But if this truth is given in an avenue of expression like the media, their plans to control the world and enforce the mark will come to naught. So they must control the press in the exact same way Hitler did in his day. In fact, I just got an article yesterday that stated Connecticut has drafted legislation to impose up to 20 years of prison time for journalists who use drones to hover over areas where newsworthy events are happening wherein police are involved. They simply can't have the general public aware of what's happening because quite often, as we saw at Waco or Ruby Ridge or Oklahoma or the Boston Marathon and the Twin Towers, just to name a few, that the government is the one that's actually committing some of the crimes. So ban the drones so as to keep the truth hidden. They let them have the long focus cameras on the ground, yeah. But all they got to do is they got to park their trucks and their police vehicles and the big fire trucks in certain ways to block what the cops are doing. So when you're on the ground trying to zoom in with a camera, it's useless. You don't have X-ray vision with those things. But if you got a drone, you can fly right overhead and see the crystal clear what they're doing. So now they're banning them. So their biggest concern still to this day always has been and always will be us, Christians. This is why I did that sermon in January of 2012 titled "They Fear Our God." I think that one's a video too now. They not only know all about how our God's hand moved in the past, they also know some of us will be used by God in a powerful way because Satan cannot get to every soul on earth. God will always have his people everywhere and anywhere he needs them to be. In fact, this is why we saw the next article come out 2 weeks ago. Headline, Obama calls religious freedom a national security issue. And a little excerpt says, President Obama told a non-denominational gathering of political leaders Thursday that freedom of religion across the world is important to national security and is a central tenet of the U.S. diplomacy. So how, I ask, is religious freedom a national security issue? Well, when the leaders in that nation are atheistic like Egypt, like did in their days, religion is going to be a major threat. This is an age-old tactic of Roman rule, as we see in China, Russia, and other nations. When Obama says religious freedom laws are needed to be passed, what he's really saying is what Rome really said back when they did this in China. They really mean that you are legally recognized as a church via the standards put forth by the government. And this is why I believe President Bush forced the 501c3 to become an official government agency in 2006. Soon, all the churches and ministries without the 501c3 will be considered illegal. And this is why I ask everybody that's in the USA that donate to this ministry, please don't use PayPal. PayPal has shut down my PayPal page 3 times already, trying to force me to get a 501c3, and I keep refusing to get it. But if you live in Canada or any other nation, yeah, you can still use PayPal because those laws don't apply now. But they still hit you with fees and stuff like that if you don't know how to get around it. There are ways to send it like a gift. But they make it impossible in certain nations to even get to that page, the gift page. But don't worry about that. The Lord always provides. But anyway, in China, for example, where it's considered legal to be a Christian, it's only legal if you're a Catholic. And that's it. In the USA, we're going to see all sorts of laws being passed that are designed to cripple real Christians and their work, while at the same time helping churches that will do whatever the government demands of them, no matter how sinful the request may be. I mean, for example, if Obama or whoever stands as dictator gets his way, and he will eventually, you will only be recognized as a Christian church if you sanction abortion, homosexual marriage, Islam, pagan rituals, and a host of other Vatican-contrived dogmas. This is This will, of course, cause the remnant church to go underground. They think that when we do so, our ability to proclaim the loud cry will be severely crippled, when in fact, that's when it will become even stronger and spread even farther. Because whenever it becomes impossible for God's people to go forth and do that which he has already prophesied we're going to do, our God steps in to assure it's going to get done. Do you recall how David ran towards Goliath that day? Or what about Gideon and his 300 men that defeated 135,000? These politicians know all about this stuff, and they know it's not mythological statements or strange stories from some drunkards. They know this stuff is real. They know this stuff happened, and that's why they fear us. Their restraint upon us is what makes our God shine the most. It not only confirms he is with us, it confirms his will is going to be done. So the more they constrain us, the more our Lord's hand will move. So praise God, brothers and sisters, we are fast approaching that wonderful time. I hope and pray we are all ready to receive the latter rain that falls upon God's obedient remnant that are called to go forth to glorify him like no other people in the history of the world. Let me keep in mind, even with all these new prophetic fulfillments occurring in just the last 2 weeks alone, or even go back to 2 months, we still have all the others still fulfilling all around us. I only brought up a few that happened in the last 2 weeks, right? We still see all the earthquakes, we still see all the strange weather, the homosexual laws, the legalized pot, the polygamy, the pedophilia, it's all being lobbied to be legalized. The love of many is being as cold as ice, like Jesus predicted in Matthew 24. False prophets are all over the place. Men are actually claiming to be Jesus Christ incarnate right now. No one keeps the law of God anymore. All the churches keep Sunday holy, including the SDA church. One Christian is being killed every 2 minutes right now just for their faith. All the animals, the birds, the insects, the fish, they're all dying, just like the prophet Hosea said right before Jesus gets here. And strange signs are evident in the sky, every nation on earth. I mean, there's all sorts of videos all over YouTube about this, and disease is running rampant everywhere you look. Seducing spirits have people believing psychics and channelers, and peace and safety is being preached from the Vatican and every other pulpit on earth, and a new world order has been formed, and there's a cloud coming from the Orion Nebula that has scientists baffled. Even the distress of nations is apparent now. So much so that I had to make a new section of my website just for the distress of nations. It's crazy how many things are happening now. Scoffers are absolutely everywhere as well, and bloody crimes are being going on right now in broad daylight in every city, just like Ezekiel prophesied. And another good thing is the gospel of our Lord, our Savior, our King, is being proclaimed absolutely everywhere on this planet now. In short, it's a great time to be alive, brothers and sisters. Our Lord and our King is soon to take us home. Hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. See you. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for reminding me. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, especially the word that brought us to your Son as Savior, and the word that brings us to this time in history that we need to get busy. Thank you for the way your prophecies are always 100%. Never leave any doubt in our minds whatsoever. Even though we look through glasses darkly, we understand what we need to understand, and we thank you for that. Please bless us in the days ahead, Father, because it's going to get intense, and we know. But thank you for teaching us how to prepare in advance, so that which would make the normal man fearful makes us joyful. Please bless everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and especially those that are sick and ailing. Lori that we mentioned earlier with the kidneys, my son, anybody else that's having issues with kidneys, and then Sister Barbara, who is having to go back into the hospital for whatever reason. We pray that your hand is upon her as well, Father. And then Brother Dennis just sent a prayer request for his wife and his family, that you keep a hedge of angels around them, Father. And we pray for all those that are on our prayer list, that the hedge of angels is always about them. Thank you for this work that you have given us to do, Father. Thank you for the word that never changes. Thank you for the desire you have blessed us deep in our hearts to make you smile. And again, thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with that latter rain. And Father, when it comes time to flee, please don't let it be in winter. And again, we lift up this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Come, Lord Jesus.